I'm betting you've heard my next guest. She became a household name after the Bali bombings almost exactly 20 years ago. And she's renowned too for developing what's known as spray-on skin. She's dripping with awards, member of the Order of Australia, Australian of the Year, West Australian Citizen of the Year. Those were in 2005. And she's officially a national living treasure. Plastic and reconstructive surgeon, Professor Fiona Wood, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you very much indeed.
That's a great,
good morning.
Great pleasure to have you with us. Now, before we start on your work in Australia, let's go back a bit. Tell me about growing up in a mining town in the north of England, the daughter of a fifth generation coal miner who tried hard to avoid being a coal miner. What did you learn from that background and from your dad?
Well, I guess the value of hard work and education. I mean, we were really driven, and maybe is a strong word, but possibly correct, to really engage in education and sport, to be honest, as a potential exit strategy. My dad used to say that education will give you the choice to get up in the morning and enjoy what you do. And that was the key, to get up in the morning and enjoy what you do. And so I feel very grateful for having had that instilled in me, because I do, yeah. And education underpins that.
And I love how he said, the harder you work, the luckier you seem to get.
Absolutely, yes. I was listening to a podcast yesterday on luck and work, and it is interesting, that whole nexus, because we are very fortunate, if we've had an education, if we've had an environment that has nurtured us. I mean, that is really very lucky, I think.
Interesting, though, because you had the education, but you had to fight for it at various points. Your mum was a big advocate, trying to make sure you could progress through your high school years and fulfil that potential. And you had the contrast to the dangerous work that your dad did and the poverty around you. There was a terrible moment, too, among the explosions in the mine, an explosion that involved a neighbour. Was that where your fascination with burns started, Fiona Wood?
Oh, I was very young, 10, 11 at the time, but I don't know. But in retrospect, I remember seeing the house explode. I remember snippets of that day of my father running in to save the elderly gentleman, who unfortunately was too severely injured, and him bringing him out. And I remember, dad covered in soot and smoke and the smells and things and people in the ambulance. So you remember snippets, and I think, I don't know, I was very much the fly on the wall on the sidelines thinking, what is going on? You know, I was far too young really to understand. But when I look back, it's still in my mind. It is in my mind's eye. And so you just wonder how things will influence you without you even knowing.
Well, yes, there's a lot of hard work along the way, though, and some interesting moments you outline in the book, which is called Under Her Skin, about how you almost didn't end up in med school. You wanted to do maths and science, but you did go there. And I was intrigued, Fiona, to see that you were really interested in the medical exhibits that you encountered about reconstructive surgeries from World War One. Did you have an inkling then that you might end up working in a similar field?
I think, certainly I connected as a medical student. I knew I had to really get a CV that would give me the choice of the job that I wanted. And plastic surgery is very innovative, and it's a big spectrum, extreme rebuild and extreme makeover. And so that extreme rebuild end of the spectrum I found fascinating right from the word go. And in the Hunterian Museum, if anybody finds themselves in the Royal College of Surgeons in London, it is worth a visit. It has all sorts of interesting things from way back, but the really emergence of plastic surgery around the time of the First World War, with really rebuilding young men's faces after gunshot wounds and things by Harold Gillies, is something that is always stuck in my mind. I remember being there with my daughter, who's also just finished her training as a plastic surgeon now, when she was in med school. And I remember pointing this out and saying, wow, look how good that was all those years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like you've been fascinated with skin for a long time too. What's so great about skin?
Oh, I could talk to you about skin until you turn to dust. I think, we talk about heart failure and kidney failure and things like that. We don't talk about skin failure. Maybe we should, because it does so many things. It keeps You know, it's our physical barrier, of course, but it's very dynamic, you know, with respect to temperature control and, you know, and it's the psychological sort of connections and why do we blush and things like this, you know. So, and the immune system, the vitamin D and the sunlight and how that keeps our bones healthy. And, you know, the interaction between the skin and the nervous system is so rich that I think in part you could consider it as part of the nervous system sometimes.
Well, it's, you know, you outline really wonderfully in the book with your co-author how amazing skin is. Why then are burns so difficult to treat?
Burn injury is a really interesting situation because it changes the skin that's, you know, that is burned and releases, stimulates the body to really aggressively. So burn injury is really inflammatory. It's much more inflammatory than other forms of trauma. And that inflammation, that massive inflammation in response to the burned tissue is what really then drives the outcome. And so we spend a lot of time trying to remove and minimize that sort of drive for scarring, that drive that scars are more than what you see. I mean, certainly when I first started, physical scars were very obvious and overwhelming. But what about the psychological scar? And more recently, we've identified with research we've done here in Western Australia, the physiological scar in not just the major burns, but in even relatively modest and smaller burns. And so understanding how that the body changes really gives us opportunities to develop new therapies. And, you know, I'm sort of in the midst of this journey, and it's ongoing with the new technologies that we have available. It's forever sort of, we're forever peeling the layers of the onion and getting better at it all the time. You know, so I think it's that sort of inflammation that really knocks your socks off. And so, okay, how can we actually control this, manipulate this, and in point of fact, make the quality of the outcome worth the pain of survival?
Yeah, and that really came into focus with the Bali bombing. So 88 Australians, 38 Indonesians, 23 Britons killed, lots of people from other nationalities as well, and 209 people injured, some of whom you saw at the burns unit in the hospital in Perth that you're working at. What were you thinking the moment you heard about those bombings?
Well, it's interesting because I felt very privileged to be in a position where we'd spent, as of the Australian New Zealand Burns Association, we have spent a period of time since the late 90s developing what we call Aus Burn Plan. Now that started because Woodside Petroleum approached us and said, you know, bringing on a new platform, what would happen if there was an explosion in the northwest, and how would we deal with that? And so we really closely in collaboration, we developed plans that was underpinned on education and training, of course, but how we could actually surge and how we could work together across the country. And so those plans were put to the Health Minister's Advisory Council in July of 2002. And it had with it an exercise. We'd done an exercise, Icarus, here in Western Australia, funded by Woodside again, where we'd flown around up to the northwest and had mock patients and worked out how we would evacuate the rig, etc. And so we'd got that knowledge and we revised the plan as a result of that, and the plan was to do some a nationwide exercise. But we never did because October 2002, we did it for real. And I always felt very fortunate and privileged that my education and training meant I could actually help people, but also that we had that opportunity for all of us to think about it. So we knew the guys that were reservists with the Defence Force. We'd spoken to them. We knew the guys from Emergency Management Australia. You know, we'd had this collaboration that I think meant when the window to our world opened and people looked across the world, they saw our response. And it was happening all across Australia in all the burns units. There's dedicated multidisciplinary teams really driving extraordinary amount of work so that we could actually work together and collaborate.
And some of the people you treated that day remember you very well. Peter Hughes says, I hated her. I thought she was the cruelest person on earth. She kept making me get up out of bed. I said I needed to go to the toilet. She said, what's wrong with your legs? But, you know, what do you remember about that time and the people that you treated?
Well, we have a really... By that time, we'd spent a lot of years building our model of care that was very much focused on the outcome. And part of that was early surgery, early mobilization, and exercise. And we have a gym embedded in our burns unit and have had for, 20 odd years, you know. So it's part of what we do is... control the swelling, get you up, get you out of bed, get you on the exercise bikes, get you in the gym, so and make that develop that self-belief. Yes, you're going to get better. Yes, you can get better. And as Peter shows, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. And things have come
but it's a hard road. Absolutely. It is a hard road.
Well, yeah, I was thinking back to some of the early treatments that are described in the book Under Her Skin that you co-wrote, Fiona Wood, because that sounds like, you know, tannic acid and jelly, things that left people horribly disfigured and immobile. Things have come a long way. And you're also famous for spray-on skin. Tell us how much that has changed the landscape.
Well, I think certainly right from the beginning, burn injury has been a focus of attention because it is so challenging to treat. And certainly when I first started, the traditional methods of using skin grafts, we still use. But as we've gone along and people survive much more extreme injuries, then the area of the body we can take the skin grafts from is obviously a lot less. And so that started a big drive in the late 70s that is ongoing around tissue engineering, using the techniques of engineering, bringing it to cell biology, and can we use the laboratory to build skin repair constructs? And the answer is yes. And so right from work done in Boston in the, as I say, late 90s, early 80s, I started watching the cell-based therapies particularly. As a young doctor, I saw that the first sheets of skin cells that were grown were used in Boston in 1982. And in those days, when I came to Perth in 87, I had to wait like 3 months before the journal got delivered so I could read it. You know, it was way before the internet. And so I started thinking about how you could grow the skin cells and salvage what is in the burn patient, remove that toxic load, but keep elements of the framework of the skin there. And so with that in mind, I was, you know, the first patient in Perth, I was a registrar, and I heard Joanne Padalaneschi on a radio show, just similar to yours. And she'd gone to Boston with Professor John Masterton, who ran the Victorian Burn Service at the time, and they'd learned how to grow skin cells and brought that back to Australia. Well, I tell you, I rang them up. Oh, my goodness. This is exciting. And so our first patient and our first 12 patients in Western Australia, we sent the skin biopsy to Melbourne, and then they send it back. And when they send it back, it had to be processed in the laboratory, and the cleanest laboratory was where the bone marrow transplants were being prepared for the day. And so I go in the middle of the night and early and prepare the skin for the day, and that's where I met Marie Stoner, who was preparing the bone marrows for the day. And we got our heads together, we started talking and brainstorming, and I was focused on time to healing. Mm. The time to healing is fundamental on many levels. The longer you heal, the more you scar, but the more pain, the more suffering, the more risk of infection, and so on it goes. And so time to healing is a focus, and that's what started when we first had the lab that was funded by Telethon here in 1993, from the mums and dads of WA, with Telethon leading the charge.
Well, and there was some controversy later on, wasn't there, Fiona, about the commercialisation of that invention through your company at the time. You've since stepped down. I mean, in an ideal world, if governments were up for funding that, would that be better in your view rather than, a commercial approach?
No, I think the commercial approach is an interesting one because, like a lot of things, there's a lot of misinformation out there. Marie and I developed a point-of-care medical device that harvests your skin cells at the bedside. And we started that journey in 1994. And we went into the commercialization space in the early 2000s. When the window to our world opened and people saw what we were doing, there was a little bit of misinformation going around that we'd just started it at the time of the barley. And that wasn't true. We'd started this journey much, much earlier. And to be honest, we both assigned our intellectual property to a not-for-profit foundation, the Fiona Wood Foundation now, it was Macomb Foundation then, in order to, if we were successful in this, the royalties would help us do our research into the future. So the commercialization linked with medical invention, I think, is really important. Our strategy has worked. By the time we got FDA approval with the support of the American military in 2018, we now have royalties coming through the foundation that pays our researchers. Well, I think criticism without engagement in problem solving, I think, is really worth a lot of oxygen. I'm all for criticism and with engagement in problem solving. So let's make it work. Make it work better for all of us. That's the aim.
And Fiona, I hope that we're not far away from your aim that you've stated in the book Under Her Skin, where we help injured people regenerate like a gecko growing its tail back, not just repair. It's been really interesting chatting to you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for your interest.
That's it. My pleasure too. Professor Fiona Wood, plastic and reconstructive surgeon, innovator and national living treasure, co-author of the memoir Under Her Skin. And all Fiona's proceeds from the book are going to the Fiona Wood Foundation to fund research into burns.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.